Tonight's scripture reading will be taken from Philippians 4, 6 through 7. That's Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ.
Appreciate Garrett reading that section of Scripture for us. We are in our studies from Galatians, going through the fruit of the Spirit and its characteristics that the Apostle Paul sets forth in chapter 5. And this is all in an effort to help the Christians in the region of Galatia to deal with the human temptations that we all are faced with. If you don't want to walk according to the ways of the flesh, he says, which are death, which would separate you from God, here's clear-cut choices you can make that are about walking in the ways of the Spirit. And he starts to list the various things that we've been looking at, love and joy, and then tonight, the peace of God that he gives to us. Peace. You know, when you think about it, we think about war, conflict, strife, and there's always wars, it seems like. There's always fighting, battles. I read a statistic. The Society of International Law in London stated that during the last 4,000 years, there have only been 268 years of peace, in spite of many peace treaties. Furthermore, in the last three centuries, there have been 286 wars on the continent of Europe alone. You know, so we're very familiar with strife and conflict and wars. We've got men who have served in the military and been in battles and so forth, and the grief and the loss of suffering and loved ones who, you know, are lost. It's a sad thing, and we long for peace. But as we read through the pages of God's Word, we see a more serious kind of lack of peace, and that is that which can exist between God and mankind. And yet God doesn't want it to be that way. God desires a remedy that we all reach out and take hold of that he has provided. You see, the peace that we don't have in this life spiritually occurs when we walk in the ways of sin. And because of our sin, we are separated from God. But we can choose the way of peace by coming to him, being cleansed, having hope. And tonight, as we study together, we're going to look at what the Bible says concerning peace. We'll talk about the nature of peace, look at the source of peace, which we know where that is, talk about the possibility of peace and the pathway to peace, the final thing that we'll look at tonight. The nature of peace, then, as we begin, when we think of it, you know, peace on a national level, we're thinking freedom from strife and warfare, freedom from even internal conflict within a nation. But on a personal level, peace involves that inner tranquility, calm, an absence of turmoil or dispute or unrest in our lives. Things are just, you know, at ease. Everything's going smoothly. That's what we desire, peace. But there is a peace, however, that is especially from God. And we just read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Isn't it interesting how that he ties peace together with the idea of taking your concerns and your worries and these things in your heart and taking them to God? And then he says, then let the peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds. Essentially, what it really relates to is this idea that once we take a matter to our Father in heaven, and we as his faithful children, you know, request his help with whatever it might be, that we then can give it to him and know that it will be taken care of. that everything will be okay. Whether or not our prayer is answered precisely as we desire, we know that God is in control. We know that He loves us and cares for us. Therefore, we can have peace or assurance that it is now in the hands of God. And this might be something we petition God in regard to on a continual basis, on a regular basis, because it's a matter that continues to be of a concern to us, our families, to the church, whatever, whoever it may involve. But the peace that we have in Christ has been described, and this is from Thayer's Greek lexicon, as the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. So I know I'm saved. So you know of your condition before God. You've done what God requires. You're living according to the truth. You're walking in the light. And therefore you have assurance that everything is okay. Even the turmoils you have in your life, you know God can use those to build you up. Or you know He's going to help you through them. You will persevere in the end with His help. So you can still have this peace, even in the midst of the trials. All we have to do is reflect upon the book of Acts and the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the first century and see their perseverance, see their faith, and even the peace that they had. Most of us probably, if we found ourselves in jail and shackles, possibly facing the death penalty after already having been beaten, maybe not the time that you might be lifting up your voice in praise to God, but Paul and Silas did, Acts chapter 16, they could have a peace within knowing that they were being faithful to God, though they were suffering. And yet when we have that mindset and that perspective, we can have that. And we can do exactly as they did and have the peace that God desires us to enjoy and to share in as a family in Christ when we are walking in the light as He teaches. So peace of God is so valuable because it can exist at any time in life, whether it is a war that's in your country, you can still have the peace that God offers. Personal hardships, whether it might be a job loss, health suffering, very serious health situation, death of loved ones, there is still a peace that God is going to work everything out. No matter what the trial, there can be that peace that God gives us. Persecution happened to Christ and the apostles, the saints in the first century, and yet we have Romans 8 beginning in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine, nakedness, peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing, other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you have that perspective, you have that mindset, nothing can separate me from the love of God, doesn't matter what it is. Surely, with that realization and that faith, you have peace. Because you know and you are assured and your mind is just locked onto that reality and truth. And that's something we need to remind ourselves of in the good times. And think on those things. Have those things as a part of our mindset, because it can be easy when the hard times just suddenly fall upon us to forget certain realities if we haven't had those on our minds consistently. And remember, this is the nature of the God that we serve, and this is what He gives us, even in the hard times. He is with us, He will provide for us, and He will not leave us. Our love and His for us remains at all times when we walk in the light. So let's think about then the source of peace. As you think of peace, remember the one who the prophets foretold of would come and what He would bring and even what He was called. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So these words remind you, we're going back to a messianic prophecy, and listen to all the names and the one which is the final mention in verse 6 there. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's interesting that the Prince of Peace did bring peace into this world, right? He brought a peace that no one else could bring. We have forgiveness. Peace we have now between us and God like we could never have before. And yet he's the same one who said, "Did you think I came to bring peace on earth? I came to bring a sword. Set father against his son, mother against daughter," so forth. What did he mean? How is it that we have peace and yet he says, "I came to bring a sword"? Well, we have peace with God in living right and being faithful. And yet sometimes the people around us will choose not to walk with God. They will choose not to do God's will. Our peace that we need to seek first and foremost is between us and our God, our Maker. Sometimes the people around us don't choose to do what is right, and therefore the Lord no longer acknowledges them as His faithful children. But we must choose God. I can't choose my relative or friend and a connection of a relationship with them above God. I cannot follow them into the path of sin. I have to follow God no matter what. And that's why he says, "I've come to bring not peace but a sword," in that sense. Because you can't have peace in every sense that you would like with every person. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 13 toward the end about this whole idea of having peace with all men as much as is possible, as much as lies within us, because sometimes that's impossible to have, because we must cling to the right relationship with God above all other people, above human beings, that is. And so the Prince of Peace is, in fact, the source of peace. Jesus in John 14, verse 27, to his disciples said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus is very explicit there. I give you my kind of peace. The Lord's brand of peace. Not the peace of the world, which is very misleading. You know, a lot of people in life agree to disagree. They don't really have peace. They certainly don't have unity. They just agreed not to touch certain subjects so that a fight doesn't break out. But peace between us and God is complete. And between us and those who walk with Him, we have peace together. We stand together united in God. It's a beautiful place to be, but Jesus says, "I leave this with you." He was leaving them in the world to do the work that they needed to do in the world. He would also tell them that, "I leave you among wolves," and so forth. And yet he says, "I leave you this peace that you can have even while you're surrounded by wolves. Even when your life is in jeopardy of being lost, you can have peace because God," or Christ, "has between man and God broken away the separating factor, which is sin. He's dealt with it. And thus we have forgiveness." In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We are so privileged and blessed to have peace as one of them from God, a spiritual blessing. And how does he give this peace? Listen to Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20. "For it pleased the Father that in him," that's in Christ, "all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." So Christ made peace possible. We're not at odds with God tonight as we sit here together as brothers and sisters in Christ in this family. Christ made peace between us and God. We obeyed the gospel. Our sins were washed away. But this is the peace that God wants with everyone, with all of humanity, our friends and our neighbors who are outside of the body of Christ, family members we're still trying to reach with the gospel, some that have fallen away from the truth, and we're trying to win them back. They're not at peace with God. But we, through the efforts that we can make to restore them or to win them initially, the blood of Christ can forgive a wayward child that has gone off into prodigal living, or can wash away the sin of one who needs to be baptized so that they can be cleansed and be added by God to the kingdom. So peace between us and our God is through the blood of Christ. But let's talk about then, number three, the possibility of peace. Are we promised a life without conflict? Do we have this pilgrimage without any problems? We know the answer to that. We look at the Bible and we see the faithful have always struggled. It's not a life where you don't have issues that arise on a continual basis. To the contrary. But the question is, are we to try to seek peace in life at any cost? The answer is no. Sometimes men will not be at peace with us no matter what we do. Sometimes peace is not possible because it would require compromising the truth or maybe abstaining from declaring it. I can have peace with you as long as I don't say anything to upset you, even though God commands me to tell you what you need to know so your soul can be saved. We can't have that kind of peace. Someone said, peace is such a precious jewel that I would give anything for it but truth. So we certainly can and should long for peace between us, everybody around us, and seek to help other people find that peace. But peace cannot be attained or had at the expense of compromising in any way of what God's Word teaches. Fight the good fight of faith, we're told. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So the command from the Holy Spirit to Timothy was engage in the battle, fight. And yet he's a man of peace, preaching a message of peace. So we long for peace. As a nation, sometimes nations have to, in order to have peace, engage in warfare so that peace can continue among its citizens. Sad but true. Matthew chapter 10. Here's where Jesus, in verses 34 through 39, makes a statement that no doubt to the people who heard him, initially when he said this, they were bothered by it. But he says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. That's ironic, isn't it? At the birth of Christ, or when the angels appeared to the shepherd, peace on earth, goodwill to all men. But we have to understand what Jesus is talking about and what heaven conveys to humanity. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He explains, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So love for God is supreme. Nothing else can be greater than that. Love for God, and then we love our family, certainly, but we must love God above all else, he says, above all else. In fact, the reality is we know that if we take that path and we say, well, we won't say it with our mouth, but by our actions, we love our families more than we love God, and we make some kind of a compromise, what happens to their soul? If we stand for what is right and we stand with God and we reach out to them, then there's hope. But if we just compromise the truth, then hope is lost. Jesus bore his cross, and he calls upon us to do the same. God gives us peace because he knows we're not going to find it with man. But he says, I give you peace, and it'll be eternal in nature. The Jews and the Gentiles would be at odds with family after turning to Christ. Many situations would have existed during that time. The same happens today. Many times when one obeys the gospel, they get trouble from people around them. That's a time certainly when the church must step in and support them and help them, because that will be a trying time. And many of us have probably seen souls drift away soon after their conversion because they were pulled back in by relatives. But God shows us then finally the pathway to peace. God calls us to take certain action. Look at with me Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48, and we'll read beginning in verse 18. Isaiah 48 beginning in verse 18. Here is God speaking to his people. And what does he say? Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go forth from Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans with a voice of singing, declare, proclaim this, utter it to the end of the earth, say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. And they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. God was pleading with his people. There were many times in their history when God longed to save them. Well, he always longed to save them, but times when he was reaching out through the prophets, but they wouldn't listen, they wouldn't hear. And you see the lamenting here from heaven, oh, if you would only have followed my will. And then this is where the song comes from, your peace would have been like a river. And yet those who turn to God, who heed his will, who with penitent hearts turn back to him, then there's hope, then there's rejoicing, and the right path has been taken. And yet he says very clearly, no peace exists for the wicked. If we are in sin and we continue in sin, there can be no peace between us and God. And so the pathway of peace initially involves turning away from that which separates us. Turn from our sins, repent, and we can move toward peace with God. John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, Jesus says. I've spoken words to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So what Jesus shows is that through his words as well come the pathway to peace. You heed the words of Christ. You listen to what he says. You follow his commands. He'll show you how to find peace. And it's a peace you'll never lose. Peace is found, he says, in him, within the body of Christ, within the church of Christ. There is peace because that's where God adds the save. We've been talking about Acts 2, looking continually at those verses where people heard, they were pricked, they questioned, then they followed the teaching they were given, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They turned to the Lord. They found this peace. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, again, listen, be anxious for nothing. In life, there's so many times it's easy for us to forget what we have. And we become burdened with cares, stresses, anxieties, all of these things that work on the mind and affect our feelings and how we're able to even cope with one day after another day. This can be a very great burden. But he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, speaking to God, supplication, you're asking of him, thanksgiving, you're showing gratitude to him for all he has done. Let your request be made known unto God. So here is the Holy Spirit pleading with us to ask God, make your request known to God. Here is a Father who has all power. Here is a Father who wants and is saying, ask me. Ask me. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need our hearts and our minds guarded because that's certainly a place where Satan will work to cause us to doubt, to become discouraged. Many things he does upon the mind that then affect how we live. But the Lord says, you pray to me. Don't be filled with anxiety. Pray, ask, and let my peace, which is greater than all, it'll guard you. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who what? Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation. I can be at peace then. When I know I am not standing condemned before God, how do I have that? I'm walking with Him. I am in Christ. I've gotten there through baptism, and I don't walk according to the flesh. So my choices on a day-by-day basis are the ways of the Lord, the ways of the Spirit. This is the way to walk and to have that peace. Mark the blameless man, we're told, and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. Psalm 37, verse 37. Do you notice? Peace is the future for what kind of person? The blameless man. But none of us are blameless, right? We all have sinned. He's not talking about faultless, never having sinned. You remember the parents of John the Baptist, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were described in Luke chapter 1 as being blameless before God. That's how God categorizes a person who walks in the light. You persist in righteousness. You don't persist in sin. When we live that way, the man who is blameless, who is upright, he's walking with God according to the ways of righteousness, he says, your future, speaking to us, is peace. The peace that we have of God in the future, long term, speaking about, is heaven. Because you know, and what a thought, nothing that disturbs, no problems there, peace forever, no more tears and sorrow, no more losses. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. That's a very important phrase. Those who love your law. Love will compel us to do even the most difficult things that are demanded by God's word. But even when we do those difficult things, look at what we have. This assurance, when we love the law of God, we have this great peace and we will not stumble. This is tied to what Peter revealed when he was talking about add to your faith and the list of qualities that he enumerates. He goes on to say, if these things are yours and abound, you won't be barren nor unfruitful. He also describes an abundant entrance in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he also used that phrase, if you do these things, you shall never stumble. You love the will of God. You love the ways of righteousness. Those are the things you choose. David was that kind of man, despite his stumbling. God will give us peace. Do you have tonight the peace that passes understanding? If you are in Christ and living faithfully, you do. But you must turn to the Lord to have this kind of peace. The kind of peace you can always have, and God will make sure you have it forever. But you have to turn to Christ in faith, repentance, confession, being baptized in for the remission of your sins. That's God's plan of salvation. We talk about it each and every time we assemble, because following what God teaches is what puts us into that family where we have hope and where we are heirs and where we have this peace. And if you're already a child of God, you know the prodigal son didn't have peace. The prodigal son had a heart of turmoil and distress because he came to the realization that you cannot find lasting and true happiness, satisfaction, seeking after the things of this life, which he focused on. So he had a penitent heart and he turned back to his father. And his father was overjoyed to receive him. No doubt, his first night home was a night when he pillowed his head in peace. He was right with his father again. And of course, the spiritual lesson for us is we cannot have peace if we're not living right according to God's will. If we are able to be touched at all by God's Word, and we know our lives are not as they should be, that problem is going to linger, and it's going to bother us unless we let it go too long. The Bible does say you can get past feeling. You can get past feeling where you're not affected by God's will. But if you're here and you want to come home to your Father, if you want to be restored, if we can help you in any way, your family in Christ will pray for you. If you need to come, won't you do so as we stand and sing?